11 to 11. Okay. This verse describes that form of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, who is residing in the heart. Descriptions contain his size, dimensions as in, you know, he's 8 inches long, and his form. The form of the Lord, of the absolute, the form of the absolute truth of God in the heart, is four-handed form, holding the lotus, the conch, the disc, and the club. God, or the absolute truth, is realized in three phases. There are three phases of understanding the absolute truth. This is given in the first canto in the second chapter. Also quoted in one place, it was quoted is in chapter 2 of the Gita. And what are these three phases? Maybe I should read the whole. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabyate. So what are the three phases? They are, one is Brahman, one is Paramatma, and the third phase is Bhagavan. So the impersonal Brahman is the rays or the halo emanating from Bhagavan. Bhagavan, maybe we go reverse order. We have Bhagavan, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a form. So the conception of the absolute truth as given in Srimad Bhagavatam, right, is God has a form, and the form just looks like, just like you and I. So this is quite bewildering. You just flip out when you hear, oh, God has a form. You know, this book by Swarup Damodar Maharaj, God is a person, apparently. You know, that book, It's a blue colored book, small thin book, but the title is very huge. God is a person, and my experience is many newcomers, they get so attracted to this book. You know, I think their mind just gets what, God is a person? I know. Let's see, who is this person? Which man on earth is this person? I think maybe they have this conception. They just want to know, how can God be a person? I just have to check this book out and, you know, see whether this movement is bona fide. Now, this is my speculation, but they seem so interested in this particular book, God is a Person. Yeah. So our understanding is God is a person. So that halo, or the rays emanating from him, the luster, the rays emanating from him, that is the Brahman. So those, that is Brahman, the Jyoti. And then you have localized Paramatma, which is that form of the Lord in the heart. And then we have Bhagavan. So Srila Prabhupada, in many places, he gives an analogy of the three different types of students who try to understand these three different phases of the personality of God, Godhead. So one is, so the three, the analogy is like those students trying to understand the sun ray or the sunshine, the sun planet, and then what's actually in the sun, or the the inhabitants in the sun. So if the sun ray, all of us, we can see that the sun, the rays of the sun is all pervading, it's everywhere. Everywhere, especially during daytime, if you go outside, as long as you are not, if you go outside, not standing in a dark room or in a closed door, you'll be able to see sunlight everywhere. So it is all pervading. So, or rather, it's the rays of the sun. So, we understand sun to be the sun ray. So, that's one level of understanding about the sun. One level of understanding the sun is that the rays that is emanating from the sun. The slightly higher than that is to be able to understand, hey, where is this ray coming from? Oh, yeah, that disk over there. So, this is the second level of understanding, yeah? We know that it is coming from this disk, this glaring disk, it is coming from there. So, that's the second level, and that is likened to the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Lord. And finally, there are other students, you know, students, PhD students, they go into more and more detail. We have 2 plus 2, many of us only understand 2 plus 2. Then those who go on to JC and whatnot, they go slightly deeper into calculus and whatnot. And then people like Brajah Hari Prabhu go even further than that. So to really, really understand those subjects. So the more intelligent of those who have the ability or endowed with that ability, who are fortunate, they... Sorry, I wasn't trying to make fun of you. Those who are endowed, you know, if we are fortunate, we are endowed, we are able to understand, then we want to know, okay, what is actually in that sun? Who is actually in that sun planet? What is going on in that sun planet? All the variegatedness in the sun planet. So they will try to understand those things. So this is likened to understanding Bhagavan. So because just like this sun example, we have the sun ray. Many people are able to understand that, you know, God is everywhere, and God is everywhere. God is great, you know. So that is why it is quite, you know, like even the tribal people, they when they see something spectacular, this is Prabhu Bhadra Govinda Prabhu illustrated this nicely yesterday. You know, when we see something opulent, something stupendous, you know, splendorous, you know, we view it with a lot of awe. Like, for example, a great, when we have not seen Tibet or we have not seen Mount Everest, but when we see, oh, what's that? You know, so this is how the tribal people, you know, when they see something great like the lion or, you know, whatever beast they had in the past or, you know, those things that they see are very, very mighty, then they feel, oh, that is God. That is God. So this is their conception. Whatever is mighty, what is splendorous, so they find that is God. And at another level, there are others, you know, many human beings actually will say, actually God is in all our heart. They are saying not because they have read from Shastra, but they can just perceive, actually God is in all of us, you know, God is in our heart. So this many, some people can go and some people are able to understand what Bhagavatam gives is just what's the word? We are trying to substantiate, you know, these so-called speculations that they have. Yeah, you are right. Yes, because this Bhagavatam, these Vedic scriptures do say that the Lord resides in the heart. Then, but what virtually everyone cannot conceive is God has a person just like two, you know, for two forms. But, you know, when I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, movies that I've seen, they also depict, you know, in Western movies when they show the God would wear a white coat and a white tie, so, you know, he seems to be a person as well. So, you know, personality exists even, you know, in their conception. Because I don't know, I think, you know, they want to have a conversation with God with a reciprocation and they did not want, and they must have thought just a voice is not sufficient, so they just had to put a personality there. But that personality may be an old man with a tie, you know. You know, that look. So what we understand is in the Bhagavan form, not only, and not in the Bhagavan form, he looks like us, much more handsome, much more brainy, much more renowned, you know, everything to the, you know, that sign, the infinity sign, you know, so all those opulence to the infinity sign, when ours is also the infinitesimal sign, right? So that's him. And not only that, he's there in the spiritual world, right? And then he's also here. So, you know, he's there, at the same time he expands. Times two, it's geometric, or you know what whatever progressions you have, it's just increasing and increasing and increasing. And then in the spiritual world, or rather in the material world also, he has expanded. He's expanded into every atom, and also into every living entity's heart. So he has done that. So that's how he's everywhere. He's all pervasive in that sense. Still haven't started rambling. Okay. Yes. So when we talk about the God as Jyoti, or an impersonal feature of God, right? Both in the seventh and the tenth chapters, there are many descriptions given of the superlative, everything that you see around us, you know, that superlative thing, we can see it as representation of Krishna. So that's how we can see this impersonal form of God. Or we can understand these are all Krishna's energy, because that is Krishna's energy and the energetic who is Krishna. Energy and the Krishna's energy, and we have the energetic who is Krishna, from whom these energies come from. Yeah, we said that not only is he in every atom, but it's also he's in every atom. Andantara Saparamana Chayantarasam in Brahma Samhita. So he's present within the heart and also every atom as well. So yes. So most of us in this Krishna consciousness movement, or who have embraced Vaishnavism, or who are starting to, or we all of us have different levels of faith. With different levels of faith, we are learning to accept that Krishna, or the absolute truth, has actually a form. Many of us may not have complete conviction, but because why we do not have complete conviction? How have we been brought up? We have not been brought up in a way. Maybe some of us have, but well, I wasn't. Many of us may not have been brought up, to understand that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if we were, because of the education system outside, we will start to question, where is the evidence? Or it is correct to ask for evidence, but we will try to understand with our mundane understanding, we will not be able to understand. We just have to accept what Bhagavad Gita, what the Vedic scriptures say, that about the absolute truth, and they say that he has a form, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's got this Satchit Ananda form, full of eternity, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. So that's the difference between his body and ours. Besides, we talk about the six opulences. So in short, full of bliss, full of eternity, blissful bliss and knowledge. So in the Bhagavan realization, see, actually these three realizations, Paramatma, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, they are not independent realizations. No, they are not independent, they are dependent, they are interdependent. That means all of them exist. They are just three different features, different people having different points, different angles of vision. But actually all three features are there. When you see Krishna, there is a halo, there is this ray coming out from his body. So that is the Brahman. And also, so it is not, there is no necessity to fight, it is this and this and not this. No, but we understand actually everything is emanating from that person. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, everything emanates from me. So from him, expansion. He expands himself as Lord Balaram, and then after that as Sankarshan, Mahasankarshan, like that. And then he takes on the Purusha avatar, and then from the Purusha avatar you have first Mahavishnu, Karana Dakashaya Vishnu, then Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu, right? Karana Dakashaya Vishnu lies in the causal ocean in the material world. No, sorry, he lies in the causal ocean, and from him, as he breathes, and from his body, innumerable planets are coming out and going in. Innumerable universes. And in each universe, he expands again. He expands himself as Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu. Another form, planetary expansion. And then from that Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu, from his navel sprouts the lotus, and on that lotus, Lord Brahma is created. So, and then everything that is created, right, within this, by Brahma, Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu again expands himself as Shiro Dakashaya Vishnu. Okay. So that's how he enters into every atom. So it is this is scientifically explained in the Bhagavatam. So, and what is the function of Paramatma? So we've discussed that he's situated in the heart. So now we know that he's situated in the heart, and he's what, 8 inches tall, right? And he appears in forearm form. So, and what is his function? So in the Gita, in text 23, something Sridhar Prabhu also highlighted two weeks ago, I think, you know, Upadrishta and Anumanta. These are his two functions. That means he is the overseer and he is the permitter. So he is residing in the heart. So are we. So there are two of us residing in the heart. So and one is us, the soul, and the other is the super soul. Super soul is Paramatma. He is Bhagavan, residing in our heart. And his function there, he oversees and he permits. Overseas means he's just a witness. He lets us do whatever we want, whatever we desire. He's the permitter, right? And he does this through the agency of the modes of material nature, through Maya Devi. For a conditioned soul, these functions goes through Maya Devi. In 1861, he says that he is seated in the heart, directing the wanderings of us Baddha Jivas, who are seated on a yantra, you know, like a vehicle, machine, made up of the modes of material nature. Later on, no, maybe in about 20 over weeks time, we will read in text 35 of the same chapter that Srila Prabhupada in his purport says, quite interesting, he says, that the presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize, even for the common man. So he described this in the purport to text 35. I'm just saying, you know, you can read it on your own, because I didn't understand it. So much from common man. So this is an example, not able to understand. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay, further down now, we have about 20 minutes left, so we'll fast forward a little bit. That is something I've heard and it made some impression, so I like to share that with you, with everyone. This is towards the end of that purport. 6:18. So the verse talks about description. There are many hundreds. The Lord exists as Purusha, or the male enjoyer. So he says, Boktaram. Yapa? No. Yagya Tapasam. So he is the enjoyer or the beneficiary of all sacrifices, right? Boktaram Yagna Tapasam. And also there is another verse. What is that verse? In 13:23 also, where he says he is the overseer and permitter. Besides being Upadrashta and Anumanta, he's also the supreme proprietor. Right? He says the same thing. He's also Bokta, supreme enjoyer. And it's Mahaishvara, the Supreme Lord. So here we see that Prabhupada says the Lord exists as Purusha. So in 7:7 in of Bhagavad Gita, he says that, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. So the buck seems to stop here. No one is superior to Krishna. So he says that here. So all of us, he is the only Purusha, and all of us are Prakriti. All of us are meant to give him pleasure. He is the only enjoyer, and we are meant to give him pleasure. But actually, all except for Krishna, all other expansions of Krishna don't have this view, at least towards Krishna. They do not have this. They do not have this view towards Krishna, right? Because for them, only Krishna is the enjoyer. Even all expansions are not enjoyers. All expansions are also, they feel themselves to be servants of Krishna. So, I'll just run through some verses. No. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Adi Lila chapter 6. Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and all others are his part or partial incarnations. Yes? We find that the whole and the part behave as superior and inferior. The source of all incarnations has the emotions of a superior when he considers himself the master, and he has the emotions of an inferior when he considers himself a devotee. So, Lord Krishna is therefore conscious of his superior position, and all Vishnu incarnations are conscious of their position as devotees. Okay, so, it goes on to say, the position of being a devotee is higher than that of the equality with Lord Krishna. For the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. So, there are many verses describing this. One is, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes, Sadhavo hudayam mahyam, sadunam hudayam vaham, mat anyat tena jananti, naham tebyo managapi. So the devotees are in my heart, and I am the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anyone but me. Similarly, I do not know anyone but my devotees. This is the intimate relationship between the Lord and his devotees. So similarly, So Krishna says in Bhakta Amar Preme Bandiyache Hridaya Bitare. Bhakta Amar. So my Bhaktas, Bhakta Amar Preme Bandiyache. So they have bound me up with a rope. Preme Bandiyache. What kind of love? What kind of rope? Prema. Tongue is. Prema Bandhi Ache. So they have bound me up with the rope of love. Prema Bandhi Ache. Hridaya Vitare. Where? In their heart. So they have actually bound Krishna up in their heart. Right? As a result of doing that, what happened? Yaha netra pade tahan dekhaye amara. Yaha netra, wherever my vision falls, wherever those bhaktas, you know, wherever those bhaktas' vision falls, they cannot help but see Krishna. You follow? Everywhere I look, I only see Krishna. So this is what happened, you know. So he's talking about his bhakta. Bhakta ama prene bandi ache, because they have tied Krishna up in his heart. Now you don't escape, you stay there, right? And as a result of them tying him up, cannot do anything, right? And then what happens? Yaha netra pade tahan. So wherever he looks, wherever his vision falls, right? That, you know, literal translation, what does he see? Dekhaye amare. So he only sees me everywhere. So that's what happens to such devotees who have bound Krishna with the heart, in their heart. So in this connection, now before I go on, before I run out of time, there is this story of Bilba Mangal Thakur. Bilba Mangal Thakur, some of you may have heard, or many of you would have heard, right? Bilba Mangal Thakur's story. He, on the day of the passing of his father, some Shraddha ceremony, he's just after burial, not burial, or cremation of his father. So that night, he wanted to see his dear prostitute friend. What's her name? Chintamani, yes. So he has to visit her. He wanted to visit her. And there was heavy rain, right? So heavy. And he has to cross this Ganga river. So although there was heavy rain, he still persisted. He wants to go. So, and he had to cross this river. And there was nothing, right, to help him cross the river. So, and then he saw some log or plank or something coming, because it is dark, dead of night. So he holds on to that and he makes it to the other side of the shore. And not realizing that what he had held on to was a dead body. Right? So, you know, that's how we become carried away, you know, when lust overpowers us. When lust overpowers, this is what happens. We forget everything. Completely covered. So when he went there, so again he, you know, and she's on the second floor, cannot get to her. Door is locked. She cannot hear. Thunderstorm, heavy rain. So he has to go into the window. So eventually he saw some rope. So he climbed up the rope, not realizing that the rope is a snake. So he climbs up, you know, not even afraid of it, for his safety. So eventually knocked on the window, then, "Yo, what are you doing here?" So Chintamani asked. Then I fast forward a little bit. So Chintamani tells him, "Yeah, you know, what happened to you? What are you doing? You know, this is the day you just cremated your father, and see how covered you are." So she started preaching to him, and out of some good fortune, he actually realized that he's folly. You know, I wish I could be like that when someone gives me good advice, that, you know, it will sink in. But it sunk in with Bilba Mangal Thakur. It sunk. And then after that, then he realized, no, I shall not do this anymore. I shall devote my life to do Krishna Bhajan. That means to do Krishna Seva. So I want to be sadhu. I want to only do Krishna. I only want to do Seva for Krishna. So once he was walking in the wood, he saw this maiden taking bath. So again, you know, he had this old bad habit, the desire came up. No, he looked at her in a lusty way. So, and when she saw him, she quickly stopped her bath, or I think, she just proceeded towards home. upon reaching home, she, you know, then she told her husband, and he was trailing her. He walked behind her all the way to the house. So, and she told the husband, no, there's one man following me. One sadhu is following me. Then the husband said, oh, sadhu is following you. Then, no, then we should invite him in and ask him what he wants, and we should serve him to his satisfaction. That's what we should do. So he told his wife, please ask what he wants. So she goes outside and asks sadhu, how can she help? So she said, or rather he said, you have a hairpin on your hair. May I have that hairpin? So, okay. She didn't know why he wanted the hairpin. So anyway, she gave hairpin. Whatever sadhu wants, give, right? So give hairpin. So he takes the hairpin and just pokes his eyes. He pokes his eyes. Oof. Anybody able to do that? So this is not something that can be imitated. So that's a different thing, but it cannot be imitated. So anyway, the story goes, he made himself blind. So that since it was his eyes that was giving him this problem, so he plucked out his eyes. So we ask, we will not go into that. So then he continued. So now he wanted to go to Vrindavan. So on his way, he's blind. How is he going to Vrindavan? There was this boy. Krishna had come. Krishna had come and told. He didn't tell his Krishna, but he said, Sadhu, where are you going? I'm going to Vrindavan. Okay, catch hold of this stick. So the boy had a stick with his, in his hand. So he said, okay, catch hold of this stick. So the Bilba Mangal Thakur held the stick. So and then he led this sadhu to Vrindavan. So once reaching Vrindavan, Bilba Mangal Thakur wants to go there, didn't he? So once reaching there, Krishna just snatched the stick away from him. Krishna snatched the stick away from him. That's when Bilba Mangal Thakur says this, Hasta Ukshila Jalasi Vaha Krishna Kimod Vritam Hridaya Jadi Nidhyasi Paurusham Galaye Vite. So he's saying, yes, you have exhibited your Paurusham. Paurusham means manliness. You have exhibited your manliness by taking this stick away from my hand. Right? But if you are really man, you try to get out of my heart. So, Krishna snatched the stick from his hand. But then the sadhu knows that this is Krishna. So he said, if you are Purusha, he's the only enjoyer, correct? If you are really Purusha, Purusha means you have all the manliness qualities, correct? That's what this, he says, male enjoyer. If you are really male, Amlena. that's the direct translation, If you are really man, you try to get out of my heart. So Bilba Mangal Thakur challenged him. Why? Because, this sadhu has in the heart. How is he going to get out? No way, Krishna cannot get out. So he may physically take the stick, but no way is he going to leave. No way am I going to allow you out of my heart. So this is the mode of this. This is the pure devotees. This is their vision. Now, so this has left a lot of impression in me. So I like to share. Okay, coming back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, we'll just go through the verses. I want to continue. So we are talking about the glory of, we were talking about even the Vishnu, all the avatars other than Krishna. From Balaram onward, everyone sees themselves as devotees. They don't see themselves as Bhagavan. Right? We see them as Bhagavan, but they don't see themselves as Bhagavan. They see themselves as Bhakta. Bhakta. So you see, and sometimes you are ashamed to, I am Bhakta Mutu. I am Bhakta Prabhu. Sorry. Here we go. So the position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna. For the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. Right? Lord Krishna considers his devotees greater than himself. In this connection, the scriptures provide an abundance of evidence. So, you know, we quoted two verses just now. So there are others. He tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, "Oh Uddhava, neither Brahma nor Shankara," Shankara means Lord Shiva, or Shankarshan, even Lord Balaram, "nor Lakshmi Devi, nor even my own self is dear to me as you are." So he's telling Uddhava that you are dearer to me than Brahma, Lord Shiva, even my own brother. You're dearer to me than my own brother Balaram. And even Lakshmi Devi, you are dearer to me than Lakshmi Devi. What about all this? You are dearer to me than my own life, O Uddhava. He tells Uddhava this. So devotees are regarded as, Krishna sees the devotees as greater than him. That's how Krishna sees the devotees. Okay. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. So the Brahmavadis, they cannot taste this. The sweetness of Krishna cannot be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. It is to be tasted only through the sentiment of servitude. Only if we have a bhakti attitude, a devotional attitude towards Krishna, wanting to do things for his pleasure. Yesterday, before the program, Dina Vatsala Prabhu said something spot on. He said, we just want to do kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. So that qualification was so nice to hear. He said, we want to do kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. Understand, Madam Prabhu? For the pleasure of the Lord. Right? Because he didn't get it yesterday. The conclusion of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of experienced devotees.
Fools, rascals, however,
cannot understand the opulence of devotional emotion. Okay. This is Adilasit chapter. It's from 98 onwards. Then, okay, we have Baladev, Lakshman, Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, yes. Lord Sesha and Lord Sankarshan taste the nectarine mellows of the transcendental bliss of Lord Krishna by recognizing themselves as being his devotees and servants. So you see, they only want to be servants. They are all mad with that happiness and they know nothing else. So all these, everyone, even Krishna's incarnations, they are enjoying so much as devotees. Then Krishna is left out. Krishna is left out. Then he says, not to speak of others, even Lord Krishna himself becomes thirsty to taste his own sweetness. Whoa. You know, why they can have, why I cannot have. So he wants to taste. He wants to taste this bhav or this mood of devotees. He wants to taste, right? He tries to taste his own sweetness, but he cannot do so without accepting the emotions of a devotee, which he does not have, right? And therefore, bhakta bhavangi kari hoilo avatirna Sri Krishna Chaitanya rupe Sarva Bhave Purna. Therefore, Lord Krishna accepted the position of a devotee and descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is complete in every respect. Jai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So this is one of his hidden agenda for appearing in this material world. Yes, the external causes were there, but he had his own agenda. And this was it. This is one of them. He wanted to know all this. They are having so much pleasure serving me. What pleasure are they having? I want to know, but I cannot taste it. And the only way I can taste is to come in the mood of a devotee. So, and Okay, that's a different story. He has to steal this mood. He doesn't have it, remember? He's not bhakta. How is he going to, if he is not bhakta, how is he going to taste the mood of a bhakta? You are omnipresent, okay, great. But sorry, you do not have the mood of the devotee. You need something else. So he had to steal. So he stole that from Radharani. Okay, that's a different story. So he had to steal. So that's why he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is his hidden agenda. I'm going to finish, Prabhu. Okay. And then text 110. He tastes his own sweetness through the various emotions of a devotee. I have formally explained this conclusion. All the incarnations are entitled to the emotions of devotees. There is no higher bliss than this. All the different All the different incarnations of Lord Vishnu have the right to play the roles of servitors of Lord Krishna by descending as devotees. Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu. These are the two. Vishnu Tattva. When an incarnation gives up the understanding of his godhood and plays the part of a servitor, he enjoys a greater transcendental mellow than when he plays the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whoa! You know, did you get, you know, I'll repeat that again. I'm sorry, I get excited. When an incarnation gives up the understanding of his godhood, so he is now renouncing his godhood position now, right? And plays the part of a servitor. He enjoys a greater transcendental mellow than when he plays the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it seems the mellows a devotee gets is greater than the mellow the Supreme Bhoktaram gets. Right? And the original Bhakta avatar is Sankarshan. And Sri Advaita is counted among such incarnations. Okay, just to finish that off, just a few more verses. The source of the sentiment of servitude is indeed Lord Balaram. So this is where Guru Tattva comes in. So that's why we say Lord Balaram is Guru Tattva, because he's teaching us how to serve Krishna. Right? He serves. This is how Lord Balaram is Sri Guru Tattva. So he is teaching us how to serve Krishna, because he has come to serve Krishna. Huh? To make sure Krishna's pastimes is enjoyable to him. Everything that Krishna needs, whatever he needs, he's there on standby, you know. He comes as Sesha, the bed. So everything, he wants to give pleasure to Krishna on standby. Lord Sankarshan, who is one of his incarnations, always considers himself a devotee. And this Paramatma we are talking about, the Vishnu who lies in the causal ocean is an incarnation of Lord Sankarshan, and accordingly the emotion of being a devotee is always present in his heart. So similarly, Karana Dakashaya Vishnu, similarly Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu and Shira Dakashaya Vishnu also have this mood, the mood of a devotee. Okay, so I'll stop here. Prabhu, please excuse me, Prabhu and Mataji. I rambled, but I just wanted to share something that I've heard and left some impression. Otherwise, you know, I've read in Grandharaj, you know, Mahavishnu Maharaj says, if you haven't been doing a lot of reading, what can you speak? So that's me. So I thought better I speak something that I've heard and I have some feelings for it, I speak that. And that came to mind when I saw some of these lines in this purport. Hare Krishna. Questions, Prabhu? Comments? Yes, what happened? Oh yes.
Only Krishna
claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the
only
Krishna
claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the only Krishna claims himself
to be the only Krishna claims himself to be the The Vishnu Tattvas, they come to actually assist Krishna in his pastime. They want to assist Krishna. They are doing some of Krishna's work. For example, becoming a Paramatma. So they are doing Krishna's work. So, but they see themselves as servants, wanting to serve Krishna. Krishna has relaxed. No problem. No, just enjoy pastimes only. So, but Lord Vishnu Midza, but you know he's also engaged in this creation, right? He's this material creation. He's got a function, but in Krishna Loka, Krishna is just enjoying different pastimes with the gopas and the gopis and his mother, the father, and his teachers. You know, these relationships going on. So all Vishnu Tattvas are actually serving Krishna. They're all there to give Krishna pleasure. Does that come even close to what you're expecting?
Yeah. But sometimes Krishna himself acts as a devotee of Krishna, just you cannot call him as Vishnu Tattva, but Krishna.
Like Brahma, when there is no one.
No. Like Govardhan,
Okay, with Govardhan, someone else can answer. But with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, this is why I've been told that when we say mantras or when we chant, even Jai Radha Madhava, we try, you know, what we really want to do, meaning of to sing Jai Radha Madhava with devotion means what? Actually, it's trying to be absorbed in what that song is trying to say. That's the most important thing about, you know, when we say we want to sing in devotion, this is the meaning. Or when we want to recite in devotion, this is the meaning. That means trying to absorb ourselves in what that verse is trying to say. You know, we may be reciting in Sanskrit, but, you know, if we know the translation, try to get absorbed in what that is. For example, Jai Radha Madhava, you know, they are always having this conjugal pastimes in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. So this, meditate on that and watch TV. You know, I was telling Dina Prabhu, actually Krishna wants us, or rather Prabhupada wants us to watch TV. Who says we shouldn't be watching TV? Then Dina Prabhu gave me a... What are you talking about? But it is in Srila Prabhupada's sutra. Srila Prabhupada says that the pure devotees, right, they've got this TV set in their heart, right, and they are watching this TV of Krishna's pastimes all the time. So isn't that watching TV, Prabhu? I'm sorry. That's what Prabhupada said. He says watch TV. He gives full license, but only thing, we are not able to. Okay, so I forget the point. What?
Understanding.
Understanding the meaning, yes. So, when we say Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, right? Krishna Chaitanya. So, you are Krishna himself who has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we say this verse every day, don't we? So, no, if we try to get into, you know, what we are saying, you know, it sometimes, when we are new, this is my experience, you know, when we are new, after singing a whole song and we go through translation, we, oh, this is nice, this is nice, this is nice. Like, when I started, you know, when I first started coming, we were reading Praise of Queen Kunti Devi. So that Akinchana Gochara verse just struck me and I found it so nice because I was reading. But later on, what happened, the general tendency is, we just we become like parrot, and we you know, we can close the book and we can say Lord Narasimhadev is here and he's there and he's everywhere. So like, what did you just say, Prabhu? If I can start from the start, I will tell you. But don't tell me, you know, don't interject, you know, in summary. So we don't want that. No, we have to train ourselves for something else. No, even in the start, you know, start of the day, Samsara Dava Nalalidha Loka, we sing that, but don't just go into the tune, get into the meaning, then you'll relish. Otherwise, it's just a tune, just a melody, just another song. So this is what we need. So then, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Guru Tavye, you are none other than Krishna himself appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I'm sorry about the Govardhan. Somebody else wants to answer? I don't know. Prabhu, anyone? No, but I don't know. You want to repeat that question again? But you answer the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu portion? Okay, sorry. I'm not forcing it upon you. Yes, Prabhu, yes.
Basically, the Govardhan is definitely the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Govardhan Guri is actually brought in there by Krishna for a particular pastime of the rain, the river. So, he is the receiver of all sacrifice. So, Krishna assumes that form. And that particular one is already been premeditated, and of course Govardhan does not appear there and there. He's already there.
Huh.
He's already serving. But in that pastime he is manifesting himself. He's manifesting and letting everybody know that Govardhan is none other than Krishna himself. But he's the provider. Nobody else can provide things for the pastime. So he's actually the provider of all for all the brother.
If I may add, since I'm sitting here. with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna himself, but something is added to it. There's some mixture to it. He's not Krishna himself, but there is something added to it. Bhakti is added. So he's Krishna himself with bhakti added. So that is Krishna. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When bhakti is added to Krishna, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You understand? When there is no bhakti, that is Krishna. So, because bhakti is in his devotees. So he took whose mood? He has taken Radharani's mood. So taking that mood now, that's why they say combined form of Radha and Krishna. So what portion of Radharani has he taken? Has he taken the whole body?
No.
Just the mood only. So because he has taken the mood, color also came along. Because the mood, never mind, okay. So the color comes along, you know, it's a package deal, you know. So because the mood will, no, the your mood will also be reflected by your by the color. So you stole the mood, automatically you will also have the Gaura Varna. You will take on the golden form. So Krishna, when bhakti is added to Krishna, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not me. Something I've heard. Cannot substantiate now. But that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not going slightly deeper, that's all. You want to say something? Yes, sir.
Bro.
Okay. Yes. He took the cue first.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the pastime of Bilva Mangal Thakur, Prabhu mentioned that he poked his eyes. My question is poking the eyes is more powerful than chanting the holy name of God?
To get Krishna.
Yes.
No, actually in Durga Mangal Thakur's case, right, you know, we always talk about this verse, I think it's 9:30 and 11:542. Do you have the verse, Prabhu? 9:30 I have, and I think it's in 11:542. Ananya Bhak verse, yeah, and 11:542. So I'll read 11. I'll read text 30. Yeah, it says this is often quoted. even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So, in Bilva Mangal Thakur's case, he has already taken to the process of Krishna consciousness. You follow what I'm saying? So it is not that he was not chanting or he's showing his devotion for Krishna by plucking it out. No, he's not showing his devotion to Krishna by plucking it out. It's plucking his eyes out. That's not what he's trying to do. You know. So these are two different things. And we ask ourselves, you know, if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. We cannot use this verse to rationalize our wrongdoing. So this example is Durga Mangal Thakur. So if we are on the level of Durga Mangal Thakur, that means we can then you can say, this is me. Because who can do? We cannot do. Take a pin and pluck. You cannot do. I mean, at least I cannot. You know? Prabhu, can you read? That's the trouble. never mind. I can pick this up with you again separately, Prabhu. But basically, what I'm trying to say is, it is not that he is. It is because he's so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness that this is not considered a fall down. That's the point. That means he has already gotten Krishna, but bad habit remains. But this bad habit. This is when we can use 9:22 here, not 9:22 for keeping our riches. You know, we can use the 9:22. This is the appropriate place to use 9:22. I read 9:22, another often misused verse. Because you know we spend. I mean, okay, 9:22. Ananyas chintam chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate. Tesham Nitya Biyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham. I have devotees, you know, sometimes telling me, Prabhu, but why Krishna is not looking after me? Yeah, right. What do you want? You know, like Devaki Prabhu said, you know, you can you were encouraging everyone to chant or something, then say, don't expect, you know, you'll be able to remain rich or something like that. No, don't expect all these things. What you can expect is whatever sukriti that comes to you from this process of devotional service, that Krishna will protect. And whatever balance you need, Krishna will give. Not, I have $10 million in my bank account and that must not deplete. No! No! I'm supposed to get married to this person but she left me. No! No! That's not it. So, he's already established in devotion, right? And among one of his pastimes along the way, after that, it's not immediately from Chintamani's house he comes to the woods, you know. You know, there is some fast forwarding that I've done which I did not say. So basically, then that's what happens. So he's already in Krishna consciousness and this old stupid desire, stupid thing came back. And here it shows that, see, the qualification is unflinching. He's got unflinching devotion to Krishna. That means, other than that, he's completely 24 hours engaged in Krishna consciousness. I'm not, so I cannot use this as my trump card for any wrongdoings I do. Prabhu, sorry. Sorry. I don't know. I really, Prabhu, I'm sorry. I'll just ramble. I ramble out of point. So, another question? So, or someone else, Prabhu? Anyone answer?
Maybe devotees can take it up. We have maybe about 5 minutes or so. So the answer will have to be short.
And
short.
Short and concise. And
otherwise, it's a good question, Prabhu. We may have to take it up as a class. That would be.
In fact, just short one. From first function, Goloka from Krishna at Balaram, and from Balaram comes Mahasankarshan. And all Purushavatara comes from Mahasankarshan. Coming back to Radharani, so Krishna has three potencies, Ladini, Sandini and Sandini. The pleasure potency is present in Ladini. So by Sandini, I think he is able to know existence, past, present, future. But in Bhagavad Gita, that is 7th chapter, there is verse, you know, he says that I know past, present, future, no more than by that he knows. And similarly, Sandini has another role. The thing I'm coming back to Prabhu's question, poking, because he had already by being Chintamani and chastised, so Vidomandra Thakur immediately accepted her as a guru. And then when he was on the way towards Vrindavan, to the episode happened, meeting this Mataji. So he was very repentant that, oh, now I have taken the process of bhakti, but still I have this stupid, dirty desire left in. And it is due to my desire. So I will poke my eyes and it has nothing to do with Krishna because it's becoming an obstacle in my path of devotion. So he was a such pure devotee that he said that let me remove this obstacle. Of course such exalted devotee can do anything, poking the eyes. So he said, okay, let me remove this obstacle. And then Krishna finally helped him coming. I mean, just Prabhuji mentioned that he came as a boy and helped him. But prior to the life of this Vibhavamangala Thakur, Prabhupada writes that he was a great devotee in our line, and then he reached to the highest level called Prema. Many of us struggle, you know, on earth, some reach to Ruchi, some reach to Asakti, but he had reached to
prema bhakti. And because of this one thing, one disqualification, Rasa is held down from prema bhakti. But because of all these pious deeds,
it's held down from prema bhakti.
Yeah, the prema bhakti level. One of the books, I think, I will talk of perception. Smaller book, sometimes something Prabhupada writes. So he fell down from prema bhakti level, and then he takes birth because of his all bhakti. You know, so much devotion he has done, but he fell. So he took birth in a very wealthy family. But it was a disadvantage in the sense, and it became like an advantage also. Disadvantage in the sense that most here in that, you know, landlord or the family where he was there, it's very rich family, I think it's a landlord family. So he got, you know, addicted with the friends who prostitute, you know. And then Chintamani was the one whom he was very much addicted. And then he was such a pure devotee that he wrote the famous book Krishna Karanamrita. Mm. Krishna Karanamrita is basically a book only pure devotees can read. It is about the intimate pastime of the Lord dealing with Radharani and other devotees. So Lord Chaitanya in the Antalila, two books he used to release. One was the Krishna Karanamrita, second was the Gita Govinda of Jayadeva Goswami. Third book was Vidyapati's book, I forgot the name. It is not in Sanskrit, I think it's in Magadhi language, it's a dialect of Hindi combined with Pali. So that is also a bit esoteric in nature. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur, so pastime is so that in fact Krishna used to come personally supply milk, and then he used to get, you know, though he was blind, in a such a pure duty, he used to get vision to that particular leela he is depicting, you know, the Lord, you know, depicting in front of eyes, and then he used to just come to it, which is not possible for you know, blind person. Mm. It's very amazing, you know. He was not disciple, he was not only a disciple also, how he was writing. When Lord Chaitanya visited Pandharpur on the way, forgot the river, the Chandrabhaga, which further extends, Bhima River, so further he went, he has also hidden agenda. Of course, he has to go to find out the whereabouts of the elder brother, Vishwarup, so he came to know that Vishwarup had left the body in Pandharpur. Then he met his spiritual master, Srila Vishwarpuri's brother, I think it's Ranganath Swami. And then on the way, further process, he met Bilwa Mangal Thakur's disciple, Jitanand, which were Brahmanas, we used to chant Krishna Karanamrita. So, on his South India tour, coming all the way to Maharashtra, he had all the hidden agenda. He got a copy of Govinda Madhipurusham, Brahma Samhita, fifth chapter from Srirangam temple. And then on the way, he got it collected with Krishna Karanamrita in near this Bhima River. And the disciples of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who is Brahmana, very Brahmana, Vaishnava Brahmana, who used to chant in the morning this Krishna Karanamrita. And it's very wonderful that in Prabhupada only quotes first verse of the Krishna Karanamrita, because we are not qualified to read other verses. Prabhupada, of course, is qualified. The first thing is the page who will translate to Chintamani. So it's something like the language Chintamani, Gurush, something like the Sarva Mauli. The first page who will translate to Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So this prostitute, because of you, I have awakened Krishna prayer. So just wanted to share, I know time is different. Hare Krishna.
So we'll end here.